to the war. Chapter 7. The crowd was enormous. Every seat was taken, and there were people standing in the aisles and crowding the balconies. The bleachers for the fighters were filled with past champions, each of them wearing their victory belts and sashes. Fix saw their eyes, saw the resentment, let it slide off of him. He knew that there were better fighters among them, stronger, younger, faster, more talented. That was what it was. Chiba had picked him. Over the last few weeks, Fix had gone through the agony of doubt, wondering if Chiba could be trusted, wondering if the promoter had picked him as an appetizer, intending Fix to be killed in order to show how tough the alien was. Probably. That was okay. Chiba still wanted a good fight. A long fight. Only record keepers and trivia freaks ever really wanted a fight to end in the shortest time. Fans wanted to see the competitors fight it out all the way to the final bell. They wanted to see something. They wanted a war. That's what Chiba had to want, too. A big showy fight that commentators could dissect on news programs all over the solar system. A fight that would show human ingenuity and skill against something beyond all human experience, but which would end with the human, with Fix, dead on the deck. Dead or crippled, but the loser either way. That way the ticket or log-on price for the next bout would be higher, and there would be no end to the list of fighters who would want to be the one who not only fought an alien, but defeated it. A victory by the next guy was the only possible bigger fight news. Chiba walked into the center of the pentangle in a blood-red sequined suit, his massive bulk seeming to fill the place. There was a lot of yelling, a lot of rabble-rousing. The din became one vast homogeneous roar, like white noise turned high. Fix tuned it out. It was irrelevant, and therefore a distraction, if he allowed it to be such. When his name was called, he walked out onto the floor and did what he was expected to do. He raised his arms and danced on the balls of his feet, turning this way and that, grinning like an ape so that every camera could get a good shot. Looking mean, acting the part.
And facing our champion, Hogarth Fix, today is a new fighter, new to Game World. New to the pentangle. New to our kind of fighting,
bellowed Chiba, and a pregnant hush dropped heavily over the chamber.
I can guarantee you, my friends, that this is a fight like nothing you've ever seen. Like nothing anyone's ever seen. You are about to witness a fight between one of the toughest men who I've had the privilege to know, and an opponent so strange, so rare, so new, that none of us know what's going to happen in the next 3 minutes. I don't know his name, but once you take a look at him, you'll understand why we all call him the Nightmare Kid!
With that, a section of the pentangle floor hissed open, and a big metal cylinder rose into sight. It was opaque and painted with images from a couple hundred years' worth of horror stories. The cylinder turned slowly so everyone could see. Bug-eyed aliens, lumbering moon beasts, spiders from Mars, space invaders, bat-winged monstrosities, and more. The creatures of books, comics, and film. Fix recognized some of them, and others he didn't. Then, the revolving cylinder dropped back down, revealing the figure of the hideous creature standing there, wrists and ankles secured by heavy shackles attached to retractable steel cables. The monster was dressed in black trunks now, but the torn netting was still there. And now, he wore no helmet. Fix could feel a cold hand of terror reach past his professional calm and clamp icy fingers around his heart. That face.
Dear God, that face.
It was every bit the nightmare promised by its nickname. Not even vaguely human, with spiked mandibles that were like some parasitic monster, or a spider, or a crustacean. It hissed at the crowd, and the spiked corners of its lips peeled back to reveal sharp, deadly teeth. There was one long, lingering moment when all sound in the room suddenly died, as the people stared at the thing. This wasn't a publicity stunt, and it wasn't transgenics, and everyone seemed to grasp that all at once. And then, the crowd went absolutely wild. 40 guards with shock rods came trotting out of a side corridor and surrounded the pentangle. The creature turned its head to watch them, and there was hatred and something else in its eyes. Not fear, Fix thought, but a wariness. The kind that comes from experience. It remembered those shock rods, and seemed to understand the odds against it. 40 big men in full riot gear. A moment later, a ceiling vent opened, and a turbo cannon dropped into sight, its laser sight finding and locking on to the nightmare kid. The creature looked down at the spot where the laser sight hovered, and then he looked at Chiba, who stood a few yards away.
"That's right, you little cockroach,"
murmured Chiba in a voice only Fix and the creature could hear.
"You try any of your tricks, and you'll get worse than you got downstairs."
The crowd had gone insane. Local and long-range cameras swiveled into position. A senior tech gave Chiba the thumbs up.
"All of the subscribers are logged in, boss. We are live from Neptune to Mother Earth."
Chiba returned the nod and amped up the wattage on his grin.
"Are you ready for blood?"
he roared to the crowd. Their response shook the whole place. Everyone was cheering, even the fighters on the bench.
"Then, let's put 3 minutes on the clock,"
bellowed Chiba, and a large digital display showed the time in seconds. It was a more dramatic countdown. 240. Chiba stepped off of the pentangle and took position behind 6 of the biggest guards.
"Shackles off!"
he yelled, and the bonds disengaged on ankles and wrists and were whipped out of sight beneath the floor, which closed over them. The monster stood his ground, looking around, cautious, adjusting what he had experienced so far to what was happening now. Fix could understand it and even follow the obvious logic. He had been captured, overpowered, poked and prodded, been given opportunities to fight, and had won each time. Maybe Chiba had tried to tame him with the shock rods and other tools. If so, Fix did not believe it had been a successful attempt. Now it was in a protected enclosure with another possible enemy. Even if it did not know what Game World was, it could put 2 and 2 together. This was a fight. It turned toward Fix. On impulse, Fix raised his left arm, fist clenched. It was a salute, but also a test. The creature considered him, then it too raised its arm. Fix saw a tiny twitch of its right shoulder before it raised its left. That was very interesting. Did that mean it was right-handed? Did it mean that it was conditioned to salute, and to do it with its right? If so, why did it use its left? In straight imitation? Maybe. Fix was right-handed too. Chiba yelled out the Japanese word to begin.
Hajime!
The clock started. The crowd roared. The creature instantly shifted its stance, feet wide, knees bent, body leaning forward, the muscles of chest and shoulders and biceps tensing, making a show of it as it let out a terrifying, challenging roar. The movement was tribal and ritualistic and telling. Then it attacked. The monster was fast. Good Lord, it was fast. For all its size and bulk, it seemed to turn into a blur as it came straight at him, claws slashing toward Fix's throat. The claws cut only air, though. Fix saw the muscles tense in the creature's thighs and calves, read the coiled power, knew the lunge was coming. Nothing moves without some kind of tell, not even the greatest fighters in history. The body is an interconnected series of tightly meshed ligaments and muscles, bones and movable flesh. When one part of the body moves, there is always a compensating flex or shift. The best fighters can minimize this so that they appear to go from zero to full speed without any intermediate process of acceleration. Fix was good at that. He was even better at reading it. The nightmare kid tore through the spot where Fix had been, but Fix was moving with light, quick steps on an oblique angle. He moved like a fencer, like a tennis player, his weight balanced on the springy balls of his feet, knees bent to act like shock absorbers, everything else loose so as not to drain energy. The alien whipped around and tried it again, relying on his speed and greater reach to end the fight quickly. The tips of those nails brushed across Fix's hip, and there was a sudden flash of heat. The monster was faster even than he looked, and those nails were scalpel sharp. The creature howled in triumph, owning the moment of first blood. He reared back and bellowed at the crowd. Fix darted in and to the right and punched him on the outside of the thigh, driving a corkscrew knuckle punch at the juncture of two big muscles. The creature hissed and dropped to one knee, but slashed again to chase Fix away from a combination off of that hit. The crowd screamed. The nightmare kid got back to his feet, chest heaving. Was he angry that his moment of triumph had been spoiled? Fix thought so. Interesting. Very interesting. The creature leaped at him, getting great height and distance for his bulk, and Fix had to twist away from him, but once more those claws drew lines of fire, this time along Fix's upper back. Fix immediately countered with a sideways lunge and punch, hitting exactly the same spot. Harder. The creature's knee hit the deck and it launched again from there, trying to slash its opponent's legs out. Fix slap-parried the thing's wrists and hit him with two fast left jabs in the side of the face. That became the rhythm. The monster tried a dozen different angles of attack, relying on its enormous power, speed, and reach, each time trying to deliver a crippling blow. Each time Fix read the thing's body language and moved with the attack. Those claws, though, found him time and again. Never deeply, but enough to hurt. Fix had to force the pain and the fear that it brought back down to the bottom of his pond of mental stillness. Each time the nightmare kid attacked, though, Fix counterattacked with a left-hand punch, often striking the same spot on the monster's leg. The monster was starting to limp, but it was clearly no slave to pain. It seemed to eat the pain and use it to fuel another attack and another. If it was tiring, it did not show. The clock said 102. It felt like hours. Out of the corner of his eye, Fix saw an aide hand a small communicator to Chiba, who covered one ear and listened. Fix saw Chiba's brows knit with some kind of consternation. There was no time to observe more, though, because the alien nearly killed him with a double high slash, followed by a savage kick that Fix almost, but not quite, evaded. Instead, the kick propelled him into the air, and the monster dove forward to be under him when he fell. A nice trick, like a cat might do. Fix tucked and turned and came down feet first, stamping down onto the monster's arms and missing the claws by inches. Fix pitched forward and rolled, came out of it without rising and spun on the floor, sweeping the monster as it charged after. The nightmare kid fell hard and lay stunned, but Fix wasn't fooled. The landing wasn't hard enough to do that much damage. It was a trick, and Fix wasn't buying. Instead, he backed up and began circling, waiting for the creature to stop playing and rise. It did, but when it was halfway up, Fix attacked, punching it once more in the leg, pivoting backward off the impact so that he was chest to back with it, and then laying into the thing with some hardcore neighborhood work. He drove solid punches into kidneys, if it had kidneys, ribs, under the shoulder blades, into the vulnerable soft spots below the armpits. He worked it fast and hard, torquing his body for maximum power, then bailing fast by skipping backward. The creature went down onto both knees, and for a moment it looked like it was truly dazed. But it got back to its feet once more and began stalking Fix. There was something different in its eyes now. Fix wanted to call it a loss of confidence, but that was probably only partly true. It had the muscle and stamina to win this. Fix was breathing heavy, and there was still a million years to the end of those 3 goddamn minutes. Fix was bleeding from a dozen shallow cuts. The alien didn't even look bruised. It limped, though. There was that. 73 seconds on the clock. Christ, might as well be forever. Chiba was on the far side of the pentangle, and Fix frowned as he saw the big man moving away, heading toward his private elevator, his 6 men surrounding him. Some of the crowd were looking at Chiba, others were talking on private communicators. More than half the crowd was no longer looking at the fight. The Nightmare Kid did not seem to notice any of this. Instead, he lunged in again, and this time, his claws tore into Fix's left forearm, detonating white-hot agony. Fix kicked it in the knee and backpedaled to safety. His arm was hurt, the fingers sluggish, blood welling thickly from 2 deep cuts. With a howl of pure animal joy, the monster came at him, driving in toward Fix's left side, confident that its opponent was crippled. Fix knew that there was a time for playing the game Chiba wanted him to play, and there was a time to fight for his life, for his kids. He accepted the rush and then shifted left, pivoting to kick at the monster's knee, but then launching a series of blows with his right, with his dominant, much faster right. He'd underused it all through the fight, training the monster to regard him as a left-dominant counterfighter, schooling it for this moment. The creature was tough, but it was also strangely naive. It bought the fiction and had built its strategy around it. And now, Fix made him pay for that lack of perception. As the Nightmare Kid slashed, Fix leaned out of the strike path and hammered its forearm with 2 punishing blows, to the point where the muscles stretched thinnest behind the wrist. Then he stamped on its foot, grinding hard to break bones. Then he headbutted it, accepting a deep cut on his own forehead to break one of the mandibles. He grabbed with his bad left hand, needing only a marginal grip, and hit the monster with a series of brutal full-speed snap punches to throat, groin, eyes, throat, heart, throat, temple, and throat. Then he sidestepped, cocked his right leg, and heel-kicked the same point on the thigh he'd been hammering since the fight started. The creature went down, and Fix shifted behind him, and was 1 microsecond away from grabbing its head to try and snap the thing's neck, when the wall behind the fighter's bleachers exploded. The force plucked Fix and the Nightmare Kid up and hurled them into the audience, chased by a storm cloud of flaming debris and bleeding body parts. Fix hit 2 people in the face and heard necks snap as he fell. He landed badly and lay there, nearly unconscious, blinking through blood and smoke and madness, taking in what happened next in haphazard images. There were flashes of red lightning, or laser pulse blasts, something like that. Fix fought for consciousness. People screamed and fell. When a red blast caught someone, they simply flew apart. Customers trampled each other, clawing and fighting, kicking and biting to escape. Someone yelled, "It's the police!" But that was stupid. It was wrong. Hurt as he was, Fix knew that. The police used machine guns and lead bullets even out here. And they used high-intensity gas guns for microgravity EVA fights. Who the hell used pulse guns outside of deep-sea mining? Chiba was banging on the button for his private elevator, his face pale with panic, eyes wide. He had a pistol in his hand. His guards were battering at the crowd, using the shock rods to keep them away from the elevator door. Some of the fighters, Those few who had survived the explosion had grabbed chairs, fallen shock rods, or anything else they could grab, and were crowding toward whatever had breached the wall. Fix saw them fall, one by one by one. One of them, Helga, the trollish woman, had a big commando knife. God only knew where she'd gotten it, and with a furious battlefield shriek, dove into the smoke. A moment later, she came out again. But Fix could not at first understand what he was seeing. Helga hung, writhing in the air, her body torn and bloody, dangling in the smoke like a puppet on broken strings. And then, it emerged. Just like in his dream, a thing appeared out of nowhere. There was a shimmer in the troubled air, and suddenly a form took shape. Monstrous, unnatural, armed and armored. It held Helga up, and now Fix could see that three steel claws had been thrust entirely through her body, and the bloody tip stood out from between her shoulder blades. The creature wore the same kind of helmet that the Nightmare Kid had worn when Fix first saw him. The pale flesh of its body was covered in the same netting, but instead of a simple pair of trunks, it wore complex armor, hung and fitted with exotic weapons. Knives and guns and other things Fix could not begin to identify. The monster was huge, much bigger than the creature Fix had fought. At least a foot taller and half again as broad in the shoulders. The brute peered at Helga, seeming to take note of her musculature, her scars. It made a series of weird clicks, sounds nearly lost beneath the screaming, and then it flung Helga away. Her dying screams chased her across the pentangle, and she landed with a bone-breaking thud 5 feet from where Fix lay, the knife still in her hand, its blade smeared with green. Fix tried to get up, tried to reach for that blade. Then a shape pushed itself up from beneath a pile of debris and corpses. The Nightmare Kid, bleeding bright green blood, wild-eyed, furious. It looked down at Fix and hissed at him, the three remaining mandible spikes twitching, claws flexing. It took one threatening step toward its enemy, and then it stopped and wheeled, looking first toward the much larger killer who was now tearing into the remaining fighters, and then at Chiba, who was crowding into the elevator with his men. The door wouldn't close, though, because of all the people trying to claw their way in. The Nightmare Kid howled in fury, and all of its rage, all of its hatred, shifted from Fix to Chiba. It bolted toward the elevator, slashing people apart even as they fought to get out of its way. Fix struggled to his feet just as the smaller of the two monsters smashed its way through the crowd and into the elevator. The doors closed behind it, and Fix had a brief view of electronic flashes from the shock rods and a spray of bright red blood. The larger monster was killing its way across the floor. The remaining guards rallied and attacked it with shock rods, and for a moment they seemed to drive it back, though at the cost of many of their own lives. And in a moment of sudden crystal clarity, Fix put the pieces to all of this together. The nickname Chiba had given to the alien, the Nightmare Kid, might have been more apt than he knew. From the size of the newcomer, and the superb combat skills it demonstrated, and the comparatively smaller size and more naive skills of the Nightmare Kid, Fix realized that he had been fighting just that. A kid. A younger, less experienced, less dangerous version of the true nightmare that was slaughtering the most skilled fighters in the solar system. This creature, mother or father, had come looking for its kid. It had attacked a whole space station full of people to protect its own. And now that kid was fighting for its life, either in the elevator or in Chiba's office, fighting against armed killers and the brutish champion sumo wrestler. The kid was outnumbered, outgunned, and because of the last few seconds of the fight, injured. Before he knew he was going to do it, Fix was up and running, his fatigue forgotten, his pain channeled into some other part of his brain. He grabbed the knife and used it to cut his way to the elevator controls. The customers, already hurt and shocked and frightened by the last onslaught, and by what was happening in the area, gave way, cursing and weeping, and dying. The elevator opened, and Fix stepped inside and punched the button for the office. The walls of the lift were smeared with human and alien blood, and three of the six security men lay in broken heaps on the floor. Below, even through the doors and distance, he could hear the frustrated roar of the thing's parent. Had it seen its child escape? Was it losing this fight to save it? No way to tell. Then, the elevator shuddered as something struck the frame. A blast? Or a fist? The door pinged open, and Fix jumped out and to one side, narrowly evading the swing of a shock rod. He ducked low and cut high, and the guard sagged back as blood erupted from his upper thigh and groin. Across the room, Chiba was fighting the Nightmare Kid. Fighting and winning. The young alien had taken a lot of damage in the elevator fight and was barely able to stand, and Chiba, for all his size, was a champion and a killer. He battered the alien with one after the other of devastating blows. Even so, the kid kept fighting. It was clear it was never going to stop fighting. Maybe it was the thing's nature. Maybe its culture. Whatever. It was losing the fight that would kill it, but it was going to make Chiba earn that victory. The two remaining guards were torn. Help their boss? Or stop Fix? They split the difference. One of them rushed over and jabbed the Nightmare Kid with his shock rod, which made the creature stagger down to hands and knees. Chiba used that moment to lunge toward a gun safe bolted to the wall and begin punching a code. The other guard rushed at Fix, jabbing with the shock rod as he circled for the best angle. Fix had no armor and a metal knife, not good odds against a professional with an electric weapon. They dueled and darted, and Fix saw his moment. The guard tried for a long reach, leaning into it with too much weight on his lead leg. Fix collapsed beneath the glowing end of the rod and stamped out at the man's shin. The guard fell hard and Fix caught him, rolled with him, rolled atop him, and drove the point of the knife through the guard's right eye socket. He looked up to see Chiba whip the door of the safe open and pull out a heavy caliber Navy automatic. He leveled the weapon at Fix and pulled the trigger. At the exact moment, the elevator door exploded inward. Fix, sprawled on the floor, felt the steel door whistle overhead, and saw it smash Chiba's desk to pieces. Then, the larger alien jumped out of the shattered elevator shaft. It was covered with bleeding cuts, and one eye was swollen shut. Some of its weapons were smashed and melted from multiple impacts of the shock rods. Its hands and chest and thighs were soaked with bright red human blood. Chiba shoved the remaining guard toward the alien, wrapped a powerful arm around the smaller alien's throat, and jammed the barrel against the Nightmare Kid's head.
"No!"
roared the sumo champion. The moment froze. The big alien stood there, panting with exertion and pain, glaring at the humans in the room. The smaller alien hissed, but did not struggle to break free. The guard gaped in naked terror, his confidence in his shock rod gone. Fix was on the floor, 10 feet from Chiba, 2 feet from the guard, 6 yards from the big alien. He read the scene, read the moment. He understood, because understanding the nuances of combat was who and what he was. He had kids at home that he knew he would never see again. The insurance was there, though. They would be taken care of. It hurt so bad to think that he would never see them again, but at least he hadn't failed them. So, he did what any father would do. He swept the foot of the remaining guard, and while every eye went to that man falling, Fix threw his knife. He did not throw it at the guard, or at the big alien, or at Chiba, who was too well hidden behind his inhuman shield. No, he threw the knife to the Nightmare Kid. The young alien caught it, twisted, biting down on the gun arm of the distracted Chiba, and then turning more and using that knife. Using it with the ferocity of a warrior. Using it with the precision of a butcher. No, of a hunter. Gutting, ending, emptying, destroying. Chiba tried to scream, but there was not enough of his throat left for that. There was no air in his ruptured lungs. There was nothing left of him or for him, and the alien stepped aside to let the heavy body fall. The guard flung his weapon away, got to his knees and begged for mercy that was not his. Fix slapped away the pleading hands and chopped him across the throat. Then he fell back onto the floor, spent, nearly gone. The big alien crossed the room in a few long strides. He stepped over Fix without even looking at him, grabbed the younger alien, slapped him hard across the mouth, once, twice, hitting him so hard the lights flickered in the nightmare kid's eyes. Then the big alien gave the younger one a single fierce hug and shoved him roughly away, adding one more slap for emphasis. The younger alien staggered, swayed, but stayed on his feet. He held the bloody knife up and hissed. The bigger alien looked at it, at the blood, and nodded. Fix watched in horrified fascination as the younger alien rolled Chiba onto his stomach, slit him from crown to anus, tore open the fatty flesh, and with a savage grunt, tore the entire spine and skull out of the sumo champion's body. It was disgusting, and it was terrifying. The nightmare kid stood there, panting, admiring his trophy. Then they turned and looked down at Fix. There was absolutely nothing Fix could do. He had barely outfought the younger one, and the adult was so far beyond his skill as to be absurd. This was where he, too, would die. The big alien studied Fix for a long time. It looked over his head at what was left of Chiba, then at the knife its child held, and at the trophy, then back to Fix. It gave him a single small nod. After a moment, Fix returned the nod. Warrior to warrior. Parent to parent. He lay there and watched the aliens move to the elevator shaft and then jump down to where the sound of screams could still be heard. It took Fix a long time to get to his feet. It took him nearly an hour to figure out how to open Chiba's safe. As it turned out, it was a biometric scan. A full palm print was all it took, and the aliens had left Chiba's hands nicely intact. He stood, for even longer, in front of the open safe, smiling.
This concludes the reading of Predator, If It Bleeds, edited by Brian Thomas Schmidt. Trademark and copyright 2017 by 20th Century Fox Film Corporation. This book was read by Tom Taylorson, Nicole Zanzarella, Traber Burns, Bradford Hastings, Bonnie Turpin, Emily Sutton Smith, Ulf Bjorklund, James Patrick Cronin, Andrew Iden, Scott Brick, Fyodor Chin, John Pruden, Mark Bramhall, Dan John Miller, Peter Burkrot, and John McLean. This unabridged recording was produced in 2018. Neither this recording nor any portion of it may be reproduced or used for any purpose without prior written authorization from Blackstone Audio, Inc. If you would like to obtain a monthly update telling you about new releases, call 1-800-SAY-BOOK. That's 1-800-729-2665. For a complete listing of our titles, visit our website at www.downpour.com. Thank you.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.